Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 106 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Andy White and I'm with Kelvin Newman.
Hello, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good middle of the night if that's when you're listening as well.
Good whatever time it is you're listening. And it's question and answers today, and we're going to start off with an audio question.
Always our favourites.
Always our favourites.
Yeah, so if people do want to send in MP3 questions, you know, you definitely get an answer.
This is from Colin. Let's have a listen.
Hey guys, just got a quick question for you, if that's okay. I'm starting up a new site intended to host podcasts. So it's for anyone who's looking to create their own podcast. I've used a few of the other options out there, and I just sort of, there's a few features that I thought were missing, just thoughts, things I thought could do better. So I'm starting up my own site to do that, called The Podcast Host. It's just at thepodcasthost.com. And I'm just looking to start promoting that now. What I was curious about was the age-old question about PageRank and whether it still matters. I know it was always sort of a bigger thing in the past, and it seems to have kind of died away a little bit. But do you still think PageRank's a valid metric for measuring how Google sees your site? Should you be looking at trying to improve it? Just generally, any sort of extra information you have about how we should be seeing PageRank these days? That'd be great. Thanks for the show. Been listening avidly, I'm planning to sign up to the premium podcast pretty soon, the premium service pretty soon, to get my site promoted properly. So cheers, and thanks for listening to the question.
Well, thanks, Colin, and that's what we like to hear, isn't it? Now, listen, is PageRank still important?
Yes and no. I think that's how I answer
that's
every
a real
question.
Hedge isn't answer, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's how I answer every question. But no, what I will say is that I could, and actually I have two computers, so I use my laptop and I use my work computer. On my laptop, I have no real means of being able to check PageRank in a simple way. So basically, my answer is that I don't consider it that important. Now, I'll explain why PageRank was important and why people did care about it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll explain why it no longer really is a huge concern. But it does have some uses, I will say.
Please
that.
Please proceed.
So initially, when Google first started up, their algorithm was much, much simpler. Now, it was based on this concept of PageRank. Now, that's named after Larry Page rather than actually anything to do with pages.
Oh, really?
And the idea behind that is that, in the simplest terms, if you imagine that one page has 1,000 points and then they link out to 10 pages, each of those 10 pages get 10 points, as it were, and then so on and so forth. And each page would have a total cumulative number of points, as it were. And that then became a normalized score out of 10. And it's kind of logarithmic as well. So there's hardly any 10s, a few 9s, quite a lot of 8s. Thousands of millions of 7s. So that's basically the way that it would work. Now, very early on, that tended to correspond quite well with search engine rankings, as it were. So the websites that ranked highest tended to have a higher score on that scale. So therefore, people talked about it a lot. But like many of the things in SEO, there have been changes. Now, what happened is that Google's algorithm got ever more sophisticated. So there were more and more factors than just that simple PageRank, you know, link element to it that, you know, come into the mix. Now, so that's the case. But also there's some other interesting things as well, is that there's essentially two types of PageRank. There's PageRank that Google use internally, which is only one of a hundred number of different metrics. And then there's the PageRank that you see in the Google toolbar, or if you're using some kind of SEO toolbar that has that that data there. They're two completely different numbers. Now, the one that's behind the scenes is dynamic, it's updated and all these kind of things. But the one that you see on your screen, so what the listeners and me see as PageRank, is updated about quarterly. Sometimes it's 6 months between updates. Google admit at the point in time at which that is published, it is already out of date. Google use it to make points. So they've seen, you know, there have been websites who've had their PageRank go down or disappear when they've sold links, and all kinds of different things, you know. So it's old data, it's incomplete, it's not the full picture, and it might not even be accurate. You know, it from that perspective, it isn't a metric that I would say for a client, well done, you've gone from PageRank 5 to 6. It just, you know, and there's no correlation there. There's like very little, you know, people have done studies, there's like hardly any correlation between PageRank and actual physical ranking.
Okay.
So that's why I see it as not being very important. However, my but here on this point is that if I am doing some link building and I have a list of 1,000 potential websites I could contact in order to potentially try and build a link relationship with them, I need to prioritize them in some way, shape or form. And you need some kind of metric to do that. And in that sense, PageRank is actually quite good, because although it's not perfect, in a simple terms, the better a website is, the more trusted it is, the more likely it is to have authority, it tends to have a higher PageRank. So from that point of view, if I have a list of 1,000 links, I'm going to start with those that have PageRank 8 or 7. Now, that doesn't implicitly mean that those that have PageRank 8 or 7 would have more value to me than one that has 0, because that page of 0 might be a new page, might actually be really trusted on a really good domain. It might have huge keyword contextual relevance. You know, could be a perfect link for me. It could send traffic as well. That brand new page has got PageRank 0 compared to this old page that's got PageRank 7 that no one visits and hasn't been updated in 20 years. You know, it's not perfect, but that's the way I tend to use it, as a very good, well, like very rough shortcut if I've got to kind of somehow prioritize a list. But there are other metrics like that, like, you know, SEO mods have their Moz rank, Majestic SEO, I've got equivalent ones as well if you're using their SEO tools. You could look at the number of inbound links to that domain. You could look at all kinds of different things. And, you know, PageRank's just one of those metrics that you could use to do that. But what I would say is, for anyone listening, don't worry about your PageRank. You know, it could go down and your rankings could go up. It could go up and your rankings could go down. You know, it's not worth worrying about what your PageRank is unless you're selling links. That's the only real reason that you would want to bump up your PageRank. Interesting fact about PageRank as well is that it is impossible for you to have a higher PageRank than your highest PageRank link. Okay. So if I have PageRank 7 and that's your best link, Andy, you can't have a PageRank 8. It's impossible. You will even struggle to have PageRank 7 unless you had lots of those 7s. So you are your upper limit of your PageRank is determined by the highest PageRank of any inbound links to you. So if you are, for whatever reason, deciding that you want to try and increase it, which I wouldn't suggest, but if you are, you're going to have a glass ceiling of what your highest link is. So you'll never be better than the people who link to you, because that's the way the system works.
The wonderful and esoteric world of PageRank.
Yeah,
by Kelvin Newman.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is it's interesting, but don't get hung up on it.
Let's move on to some paper questions now on these printed out emails. Shuffle, shuffle. This one is from Clint Till of Birmingham. I presume that's Alabama, Birmingham AL. Not Birmingham, the West Midlands in the UK.
No, not in the Black Country. No.
Yeah. Yes. Right, okay. I really appreciate the tips, resources and valuable information you guys bring to the podcast every week. I wanted to ask a question in regards to blogs that are included as a part of an existing website. I know that maintaining a blog can help your search rankings because you are consistently updating the site with new content and new pages. However, some sites, brackets, like mine, brackets, have the blog as the landing page. Does this further improve your search results rankings, or does it really matter if your blog is your landing page? Would you advise someone to use their blog as their landing page, or would you advise them simply to have a standard homepage from which the user can navigate to the blog? Thanks for considering my question. I look forward to your response, Clint Till.
Yeah, I think what Clint's getting at there is kind of getting a little bit confused in terms of the difference between landing page and homepage. A landing page is just the page which someone visits your site for the first time.
Right.
I think he's talking about the homepage there because he mentions that at the end.
Right.
So what he's saying is there, should you have, if you're using WordPress as your CMS, should you use the blog as the homepage, or should you have a static page and then the blog as a sub page of that? It depends on what you're trying to achieve. But in most cases, the static page tends to be the best bet, because the problem with having a the blog as your homepage is that you don't have the static content that will always ensure that there's some words there describing what you do as a business.
Mm.
So you need to, from an SEO perspective, if you've got something in your title tag, you need to have it in the first couple of paragraphs of the page. You need to have some good sort of, you know, descriptions, some synonyms of your main keywords there in the, you know, there on your homepage, or you're never going to rank for those terms that you want to rank for. If you've just got whatever your latest posts are, and you might have five or six posts which aren't hugely on topic, you know, they might be kind of relevant to your interest, but they don't include those keywords,
yeah,
you're going to then struggle to rank as a consequence of that. So that's why I tend to think sometimes it's better to have it as a subfolder rather than, you know, as the homepage.
But it's funny though, isn't it, Kelvin, because you hear people say all the time, I'm sure it's true, that Google loves blogs because they're constantly being updated. But it sounds like what you're saying is, be careful about what your homepage is, because yep, you want some information that's pertinent to what you do there.
Yeah, exactly that. Because yes, it's true that Google do like blogs because they come back more frequently. They can look at the RSS feed. If you have your website set up on a blogging platform, it will get spotted more quickly than if you had a different CMS.
Yeah.
That is true. Mm. However, if you sell X, Y, and Z and you don't have the word X, Y, and Z on your homepage,
you've got a really off-reservation blog post talking about, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's fairly easily done.
Church organs or something. Well, and you sell underpants.
It could be fairly easy. You could have like a couple of blog posts about you know, a team building event you've done, a competition you've run, a job you're offering. You know, that's fairly standard blog content. If you only have five or six blog posts on your homepage and none of them actually talk about what it is you sell, what it is you do, that's a challenge. And that's also true not just for search engines. You've got to imagine someone landing on your site for the first time. Do they, when they land on any page of your site, do they understand what it is?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
As you do.
Sure.
Because if they, you know, your logo, your vague mission statement, you know, that might not explain what you do. So you need to say, we sell this type of widgets, or we do this type of service, and have a couple of paragraphs at least explaining what that is. Ideally, you know, 300 or 400 words explaining exactly what it is you do, using the keywords you want to describe yourself with, and searches are searching for, and then link through to the internal pages that are relevant to that. You can do that. You can have your blog on your site, which is there and enables the search engines to come out more frequently, but that doesn't have to be on the homepage.
Sure. I mean, I've also seen sort of company websites that are a blog, but they've just got like a static paragraph at the top that says what they do. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the alternative. But the way most people set up WordPress is that would then mean that paragraph would be on every page, which would be beneficial. It is,
or maybe in the sidebar.
It is entirely possible on WordPress to have different templates. So you have the blog homepage, which has half a page of static content that only appears on the homepage and it doesn't appear anywhere else. That is doable. But, you know, at that point, if most of the page is static content anyway, you might as well have it somewhere else.
The blog. Yeah, yeah. Is that all you have to say on the matter, Mr. Newman?
I think so. Good question, though, because...
Very good question.
You know, we rave on about using, you know, blogging CMSs as, you know, blogging software as CMSs, and the default setup on that will be that you have the blog as a homepage, and that isn't perfect for everyone.
Sure. And Clint's company is Red Fox Media, Inc. You can give us a tenner later, Clint. Right, let's move on to the last question. This is from Andrus Purdy. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. I think it's pronounced Purdy, P-U-R-D-E.
You see, I deliberately gave this one to you, oh. So you can pronounce the name wrong.
I do apologise, Andrus. Anyway, hey, Kelvin and Andy, love your podcast. It's such a good way to learn about new tools and ways of doing better marketing, exclamation mark. Got an SEO question regarding a cheeky niche e-commerce site I'm working on called Nickermail. I've identified some long-term keyword groups for the site, and I'm guessing I should focus on link building and adding more content pages to the site. Is there a best practice on the sequence of SEO activities, i.e. where do you start? Anything else I have missed out? Thanks, and keep up the weekly treat, Andrus.
Oh, it sounds like an interesting website he's working on there. But
I'm going to have a look at it. Nickermail.
Okay. So,
actually, I can't quite reach my laptop. But
I won't. I might not do that one on the work laptop. But so yeah, in terms of the process of how do we do SEO? So the company that I work with, Site Visibility, the way that we tend to work on search campaigns is that we do what we call an audit in the first month, and that's where we go over the site with a fine-tooth comb and try and resolve all of the possible technical issues that are there. And, you know, they're all the things that often come up as questions on here. We've got a checklist on the Premium Podcast that, you know, shows the exact checklist that we go through on a website. But that's looking for issues like concatenation, you know, are you indexed? Do you have, you know, is the content of your pages fully spiderable? All those types of things. It's very technical. We then do the kind of on-site changes. So do you have pages that exist to cover off every keyword? If you don't, do you need to add some new pages and so on and so forth? Do all those pages have relevant title tags, good meta descriptions that match up with the title tags, match up with the content of the pages and so on and so forth?
Just a little plug for the premium thing. You did a very nice couple of videos recently all about meta tags and title tags and stuff.
Kind words, Andy, kind words. But yeah, no, I mean, so basically that's a process that we go through, yeah? And so that's all the on-site stuff where we're making changes to the site. Now, we normally do that in the first month. For many people, if you're doing it on your own, that might take a number of months, but they're the bits you need to get right, the relevance issues, because if you don't get them sorted, it doesn't matter how good your link building is, how good your social media is, you're going to struggle to perform well in the search engines. So we always try and get that sorted first. At that same stage, in that first month when we're working on a client campaign, we also then set some link building strategy. So there's two ways you could do link building. You could do it by having a grand idea of what it is you want to do with a plan and some ideas of the types of things you're going to do, or you can just get stuck into the tactics. Now, getting stuck into the tactics can work quite well in the short term, but you then might find, oh, if I'd done it in this order, I would have done it slightly better, or I've missed out on this keyword because I didn't really think about it. I just got stuck into writing articles. So as an approach we use, which we've done mentioned a couple of times in future episodes, in previous episodes.
Have we? God, you're clever.
Yeah, I've done it in the future. Yeah, we're going to cover it in the future. No, I mean in the past. So there's an approach we use at Site Visibility, but you know, there's lots of different SEO strategies like this for link building, where we say, okay, we call it a tribe based strategy. I'm sorry, a theme based strategy. Mm-hmm. Where that's a nice little acronym because all marketers love a good acronym. So basically, the process we go through is we say, okay, well, what is the tribes of your website? So who are the audiences? Who are the specific sub audiences? So if that's like a travel website, it isn't just 18 to 24 year olds. It's like, okay, people who are going on away on a romantic weekend, this is their only holiday this year. That might be one of the groups of people. It might be people who go away four times a year, who go to cultural destinations where there's art galleries. That might be a tribe, and so on and so forth. So you break those people down. You then have to understand what the hook is. So for those individual tribes, what about your business or your website is uniquely appealing to them? Mm. Now, that's normally like something that's core to the business. So if you're kind of to carry on with the example there, talking about travel, if you've got those types of destinations and holidays there, that's your hook to that tribe. You've got the content that they want. But sometimes this is where websites then struggle. Oh, well, we're not appealing to those tribes. So at which point you've either got to choose new tribes or work fundamentally on what your website does, because you know, you're not making that connection. So that's the T for the tribes. H is the hook. We then go on to E, which is the engaging piece of content, which is really link bait. Link bait is kind of what thing can you do, or what thing do you have that can attract links to your website that somehow embodies that hook, appeals to that tribe. So this might be a series of blog posts, it might be an infographic, it might be a podcast, it might be a video, it might be a viral game, just something that appeals to that audience, embodies what's, you know, why your company are of interest to that that audience, but also is worthy of attention in some way, shape or form. So that's an engaging piece of content, and that's what we do a lot of for our clients, is building those pieces of engaging content. And then you've got the marketing of that, and then you might market that in a variety of ways. So you might use social media, you might use old school backlink analysis, you might use article syndication, you might use outreach, you know, there's a variety of different things. But for that engaging piece of content, you need a little mini marketing plan for what you're going to do with that, because too many people build great bits of engaging content and then don't do anything with them. They don't. Mm. If you build it, that doesn't mean they'll come, you know, to paraphrase badly a film.
Build it and they will come.
Yes. So there's the marketing. And then finally, there is evaluation. So that's what we tend to do at the beginning. So we have a link building strategy. We'd have a couple of those themes going, a couple of different tribes, a couple of pieces of engaging content that we were planning on creating over the next 6 months or so. And then we then go on to the ongoing stuff. So that might be where you then go, okay, well, we decided in our strategy that directory submission was something that we wanted to do early on, because we know directory submission, whilst might not deliver the best links in the world, it's very predictable. We know if we spend X amount of hours on it, we'll get Y amount of links out of it. So we'll do that straight away, because that's a low-hanging fruit. Mm. Then we say, okay, well, moving on, we've done the directory submission. Let's focus on some other quick wins, but article syndication might be that. And all the time while you're doing these quick wins, you're also working on the things that are going to take a period of time. So if you need to start producing a series of podcasts, you can't do that overnight. It's going to take, you know, 6 to 8 weeks to get all that content together. You've got all that content together. And then once you've been doing all these kind of low hanging fruit bits first, you've then got these bigger, better, more link worthy pieces of content that are more likely to get the authoritative links. So you're kind of covering both bases there. Sure. So you've got the volume, you've got the velocity, you've got the anchor text, but you're then still covering off the authoritative links, the ones that are really going to make a big difference. So that's kind of my approach. And what we then do with a client is every 3 months or so, we'll kind of review where we're at, see if there's any changes we can make to the on-site, see if there's any changes where we can learn from what's worked in the link building, and just kind of constantly review it, really. If you're working in-house, it works probably in a slightly different way, where you'll be doing it a bit all over the place. But, you know, following that approach that we take as an agency, I think would work well for quite a lot of businesses.
Fantastic. And that concludes the questions for today's show, as Kelvin takes a stretch. You're very animated, Kelvin. I think there's a new form of energy. If we attach lots of ropes and pulleys to your hands when you're talking, to a series of pulleys and flywheels.
Well, it is terrible. I suddenly realise when I video myself quite how much I move about.
You do, you move a lot.
And it doesn't really matter when it's just audio, because, you know, you can't see that. You can't see that I'm like rolling around in my chair.
No, the audience can tell, because your voice goes quieter and louder as you move away close to the mic again.
This is me far, far away. Yeah. And this is me getting nearer and nearer. And this is me doing my kind of fidgeting about. So, yeah. I think there's something good about a person who fidgets. I think that means they're creative, right?
I'm a fidget. Anyway, with that, we'll bid good night. Good night. Well, it might be good night. If you're listening at night, it will be good night. Goodbye. I've been Andy White, and I probably will be next time.
And yeah, I have most definitely been Kelvin Newman, and will probably continue to be Kelvin Newman for quite some time.
And we'll see you again on the next episode of nearly forgot the name of the podcast. And
it's Internet Marketing,
brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Goodbye. See you next time. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question, and we'll play it on the show.
Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.